This is Jack Vickers, and you are listening to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, also known as The Hood.
And we are live from that hood here on November 14th, 2023, 7:34 p.m. sharp. It is podcast number 165, I believe the 27th edition of the 6th season. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix podcast. I am one of your lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by your other lovely hosts, the Josh and Mitchell. Josh, say hi to the folks out there.
Hi, folk.
We appreciate everyone who chats along in our Discord. Again, I can see a heavy dose of Walt, and I can see Al, and I believe someone else got in there on Sunday. I don't remember who. Not going to scroll back right now. But we appreciate all the people who chat along with us. Segment start times are down in the description below. Thank you, at Levi Oki, for all the beautiful illustration. Sounds like soon that man's going to be moving into his new home. So shout out to Mr. Carmel Bear himself. Josh, how you doing, pal?
You already asked me. I'm doing. Well, no, maybe you didn't ask me.
No, I did not. I asked you to say hi to the folks.
I'm doing. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Josh, I can only handle why is your head not in the game?
I can only handle one question a day.
One a day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's never been the case before. Is this a new sort of... Are you a sufferer of a TBI? Has something happened between Saturday and now? Like, what's the scenario?
Yes.
Oh, no. Is it Asher's fault? Is it Kaya's fault? Is it Odin's fault? What's the origin of this TBI?
Probably watching Packers.
Oh no. We can get that into that in a bit. So I've heard, Josh, you have a new bit. It's not the rhyming wrap up this week. It's something different. And you said it's a one-off or something to never be done again, but you feel pretty good about it. Do you want to preview it a bit, or should I just let you have the floor and you do your magic?
Yeah, well, I'll get right into it because it may take me a little bit of time. And so based on the NFL.com, they recently posted their Week 11 power rankings. And so I'm going to read through it real quick. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to go number one. It's Philadelphia Eagles. Head coach Nick Sirianni. Now, kind of makes sense. Number two, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Three, Ravens John Harbaugh. But they're just going based on performance on the NFL football fields. I'm going to go ahead and for each ranking, I'm not going to change the overall ranking, but we're going to get into how many fifth graders it would take to beat up the head coach of these teams in the NFL based on my truthiness and research done behind the scenes.
Okay, so before you continue, I don't want to disrupt your flow, but just because maybe I missed something, because, you know, just like you, to me, I only half listen to you when you're talking sometimes. This is the NFL, this is a power ranking from NFL.com of the, just how good the head coaches are. I thought it was the teams, but this is head coach based, obviously.
Nope, it's the teams, but then I'm going to take the head coaches, and I'm going to tell you how many fifth graders you'd need to send into a meeting room to beat up the head coach to get an advantage the next time your team plays them.
All right, so this is Josh's Are You Tougher Than a Fifth Grader power ranking.
Yeah, so Sirianni, he's got the Eagles. They've got some dog in them, so it's going to take 15 fifth graders. We're talking, you know, athletic fifth graders, not me in fifth grade.
Okay, Luis Sanchez types, got it.
No, not quite that. So we're talking like... I don't know. Not
Bradley Canup, they're fifth athletic. Graders?
Yeah, well, I said not like me. Bradley was smaller than me. just your, you know, not Miles Garrett fifth graders, but somewhere between me and Miles Garrett in fifth grade. And so Nick Sirianni got to send 15 fifth graders to kick his ass.
Okay.
Next up, we got Andy Reid, number two team in the NFL, the Chiefs. You only need to send 8, but if they're coated in barbecue sauce, you're going to need less than 8.
Okay.
Ravens, John Harbaugh, 4, just because, well, John Harbaugh, if they spill milk, he's probably going to clean it up. He's kind of like his brother with his khakis. Dan Campbell, yes, good luck. There is no number. Kyle Shanahan, 3 fifth graders. Doesn't look like a very tough man.
Oh, no.
Dolphins, they are sixth in the power ranking. Mike McDaniel, you need to send in four. He's short of speed, so he's probably got a little bit more speed, but four fourth graders ought to do the trick. Cowboys are seventh. Mike McCarthy is their head coach. See Andy Reid. And so see Andy Reid, you'd only need eight covered in barbecue sauce. Number eight, the Jaguars, we've got old Dougie P, two. One to stand behind him, one to push. Number nine, Browns. Kevin Stefanski, he's always had that kind of I'd punch a fifth grader if I had to vibe, so 12.
Okay.
Houston Texans are 10th in the power rankings. D'Amico Ryan is their head coach. It's going to take 20. He's just out of the NFL. They're going to need to have a strategic plan in order to get this man down. And so D'Amico Ryan's got to send 20. That's basically a class. Number 11, Seahawks, Pete Carroll, 2.5. 12, Bengals, Zach Taylor, 6. He's just kind of got that look to him like, yeah, he'd punch a fifth grader, but then he'd feel bad about it afterwards. Mike Tomlin, he ain't losing nobody. Steelers are 13th power ranking. It's going to take 16 fifth graders.
Okay.
14th, the Bills, Sean McDermott, 8. You'd send 8, but you really only need 7. Number 15, Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, 4. Too much of a pretty boy to get his hands dirty, and Kirk is probably going to be standing there the second he starts throwing fists and saying, hey, buddy, no. Saints, Dennis Allen, 10. Just because I've never seen this guy, I don't know if he even exists, but 10 to kind of scout the room. Number 17, Colts, Shane Steichen is their head coach. It's going to take 6. I don't know why, just felt like 6. Truthiness pick right there. Number 18, Chargers, Brandon Staley, 1. One-on-one matchup. That man's going to say the analytics are on his side and it's going to fail him yet again. 19, Buccaneers, Todd Bowles, 9. Just, you know, another arbitrary pick. 20, Broncos, Sean Payton. This one might be controversial, but 25, because that man just has, I'm going to beat a fifth grader in front of his parents and then I'm going to laugh about it. So it's going to be 25 of them. 21, Raiders, Antonio Pierce, interim. He's got 10. He's fighting for his job, so he's going to have that that kind of feistiness in him. Jets are 22nd in the power rankings. Robert Saleh as their head coach. It's going to take 30. That's like a class and a half, a larger classroom size. And that's just because he's probably sitting there thinking, if I beat these fifth graders, maybe Zach Wilson will get a fire in his gut. 23, Commanders, Ron Rivera. It's just 2. One to distract him, the other one to read him a bedtime story. 24, Falcons, Arthur Smith, 20. That guy's mustache just screams, I failed in gym class, so I'm going to take it out on these kids. 25, Titans, Mike Vrabel, 35. He's not going to let anybody, 35 is because I just stopped sending the fifth graders in. Matt LaFleur, Packers, number 26 in the power rankings, 5. Second he bends a hangnail, it's over. He's done. 27, Rams, Sean McVay, 5. Same as Matt LaFleur, came from the same tree. So, yeah. 28, Bears, Matt Eberflus, 3. One of them to tell him Justin Fields is no good, and then two of them to push down. 29, Cardinals, John Gannon. Only going to take one. One-on-one fight right there. The guy's just a lanky little guy, and yeah, you can hear from his motivational speech. Not going to take a whole lot to knock him over. Patriots, Bill Belichick, number 30th in power rankings, 19. Billy B may be old, but he's a frisky man. 31, Giants, Brian Daboll. It's going to take 22. And that's just because if they all held hands and wrapped, they'd be able to finally reach if they're all going to wrap around him. So it takes 22 fifth graders to reach all the way around him. 32, Panthers, Frank Reich, 9. Just because Reich, kind of German, 9. Get it?
Boo.
9. Okay. But yeah, so if anybody's curious as to how many fifth graders it would take to beat up a head coach, I just gave you the list.
Are you going to be so generous as to release this into the Discord later so that people can compare their own power rankings, or no?
Nope. This is inside information. If people want to listen and take notes on it, that's fine.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where I'm not going to give anybody else a competitive advantage. I've already got my fifth graders on the way. So Watch out.
Oh, no. My only critique to your list is I know Billy B has been falling from grace, but I feel like he obviously gives Emperor Palpatine vibes, Order 66. Like, Belichick would murder an entire elementary school if it would get him another Super Bowl, just based on, you know, what Palpatine did to those young Padawans. So I think Bill Belichick's number is way too low. But other than that, I appreciate the list. I appreciate the time you put into it.
Less than 15 minutes, but thank you.
Whoa, Josh, don't come on. You gotta, the secret sauce.
But I will say that it is. You hear the, would you rather fight 50 ducklings or
50 horse-sized ducks or one duck-sized horse? Or I said that backwards, but yeah.
Yeah, and everybody always goes, oh, I'll take the 50. No. Just got to go with the one. One-on-one, you're going to be much more efficient in a fight, because if 50 horse or duck-sized horses come chasing after me, them things are still powerful. I don't want... no, thank you. So that's why these numbers, that's the way they are.
All right, Josh wants to tango with a horse-sized duck. You heard it here first, folks. Make it happen. All right, Josh, we will move on. I do appreciate that bit. We're going to move on to a little bit of Fire in Your Gut, and we're not going to play the intro this week. I believe I just played it 2-3 weeks ago, so wait another week or two for the people to hear the glory of John Gannon's full speech yet again. But because you were talking there for a while, Josh, I will go ahead and I will go first here. I got a couple different, it's been a couple weeks since I think I did Fire in My Gut, but I've got a couple different things that are lighting up my gut this week, Josh. We're going to start with this one first. Bad beats, Josh. That Fire in Your Gut is negative, and it's a bit of a spoiler for the weekly recap that's coming up in just a second, but in my most expensive league, the Family and Friends Fun League, as named by the commish, Mr. Druser, three of my four losses, I'm either the second highest score of the week or the third highest score of the week, and I'm fucking sick of it. It's ridiculous. I know. I mean, it's probably my current emotional state of this league. That's probably why people, I don't want to say overreact, but this is why people go to the based on the median, because I've taken three bad beats, and I am, I'm about to fucking lose it, Josh. This is my most expensive league. First place gets $1,000. It's one of those leagues where almost all the money goes to the winner, and I'm going to fucking lose it, Josh. I'm going to fucking lose it. Fantasy's a game of luck. We all know that. But when there's big dollars on the line, I don't want to be unlucky. I want to be fucking good. So it's a little frustrating, as they would say on, what is that, Barrero? Is that Common Man? Doesn't matter. I'm a lot of fire in my gut based on those fantasy bad beats I've been suffering lately. But Josh, that's not the only fire in my gut this week. We've also got... we'll go with the first one. The fantasy scoring was sky high this week. Anyone who paid attention to the box score of the NFL game saw that scoring was up across the league, and that, of course, translated to fantasy scoring being up across the league. It benefited some of my teams. It gave me some bad losses. Shout out Dak Prescott. But overall, we all love scoring points. We all love seeing both the NFL and our fantasy teams just rack up the points. And so for, you know, a week, I believe, early on in the season, maybe week 4, week 5, you would call it the NFL for being down on scoring. That was certainly not the case in Week 10. Week 10 was lighting the scoreboards up, and I was a big fan. So those are the sources of the fire in my gut this week. Josh, do you have any fire gut this week?
Nope. Since I talked a lot during the power rankings, I'm just going to go ahead and let your fire in the gut be the fire in the gut.
All right. Well, that was the fire in our gut for this week. Josh, we've got coming up here Nikita's favorite segment. It's, of course, our special correspondent Forky will be answering questions. We do an interview with Forky about every Tuesday now. So we'll go ahead and ask Forky a couple questions and get his input. I just want to be sure, Josh, do you have number two here? Because I only have one and three. Do you have a question for Forky?
Yep, I do.
All right, excellent. I'll start here. Forky, what was Bill Belichick thinking as he watched Bailey zip on the ball Zappi, throw a pick on a fake spike into quadruple coverage with less than 2 minutes to go in the game?
I'm trash.
Hey, Forky, What did you think of Josh's power rankings from earlier in the show?
Trash?
Oh, listen here, you little...
Forky. What was Josh Allen saying to Sean McDermott Monday night right after they collectively gave the game away to the Broncos?
You're just like me. Trash!
Oh, wow. Forky, again, with the hard-hitting answers. That's a man we appreciate. That's a man we look up to. Josh, do you think we should start paying Forky a salary? Just for what he contributes to our show?
Yeah, probably.
All right, Forky. Well, our people call your people. Moving on, Josh, to the aforementioned weekly recap. How did we do in fantasy this week, Josh?
Oh, no. Can you vamp? I said I was ready. I was not because I don't have that pulled up quite yet.
I'll go first. Josh, I know I've been skirting on it for many weeks now, and last week I said it was my worst week in fantasy. Well, Josh, that was only my worst week in fantasy so far. This week is now my worst fantasy week of the season.
Oh, no.
I went 5-5, which doesn't sound that good, or it doesn't sound that bad to, you know, maybe where some people are in their fantasy season. But for me, it's my worst week of the season. 5-5, did my first median split, so I play in two leagues where we play head-to-head and against the median. And it was my first time splitting. I won my head-to-head, but I lost the median matchup, so that's tough. But overall, that puts me at 68-32. As the records are stated within the leagues, that's a 68% winning percentage. So not bad, but I'm definitely on the downtrend, Josh. I mean, I know you don't look at my sheet very often, but you can just see a lot of green to the left of the grid, a lot of red to the right of the grid. I know I talked earlier in the season that who cares when you get wins? Some people, you know, we never want to say your fantasy season's over if you go, you know, 1-3 or 2-4 to start a season. You can obviously turn a fantasy season around. I was lucky enough to have a lot of wins early and stack them up. And so now hopefully, unless I just lose out in all my leagues, I should be able to coast into the playoffs. But I might have peaked really early, Josh. Things might not be looking around. I know once you get into the dance, nothing else matters. It's just a head-to-head matchup each week, and so you just need some couple lucky weeks in your set. But I'm on the downtrend, and that is not good. Overall, and I also got eliminated from JWoww's Guillotine League. It was a big colossal failure. So terrible week in fantasy for me. I went 49-51 if I were to play every team this week in all my leagues. So that was my first sub 500 week. I know it's only a 49%, but it's still sub 500, 49-51. That is brutal. Overall in the season, I'm 695-396. So that's I'm batting 637. And yeah, I don't know. You don't want to be downtrending with the playoffs only 4 or 5 weeks away. So I'm a little bit doom and gloom, Josh, but what about you?
Well, I'm hoping this is the worst week that I have for the remainder of the season. I went 9-0.
What?
Yeah. There's been, you know, I didn't know if it was a hemorrhoid or a horseshoe, but no, this was identical to my week one. So week one, overall, I went 52-14 against everybody using the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated. And this week I went 52-14. So all things is a circles. Overall, I'm 61-29 on the season for a 67.78 win percent. And then using the intellectual property of Joshua Allen Bunker Incorporated, I am 339-211 with a 61.64% winning. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty solid week, I'd say.
Josh, those are some good numbers. 9-0. That's tough to do. That's
yep,
tough
and I
to
won
do.
$7 or $6 in my daily drafts. I had... In
Rich
one of
kid.
Them, I had CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and Brian Robinson. And I think I scored 170 something. And the next highest, like the second place score was like 124.
Jeez, look at you go, King.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. We will move on to the FanDuel, Josh. There's been quite the shakeup here, so let's get into it. The top three weekly scores came from TW Cody 58. That's a friend of Carmel Bears. He's put up almost 140, 139.92. Josh, you were in the top three in the weekly performance. You put up 130.74. And then our friend Glenn, the best of Garbanzo Beans, He put up 127.06, but the leaderboard looks drastically different than last week. With his top performance, Cody actually catapulted into first place. He is sitting his top five scores, rack him up to 663. Literally nipping on his heels is our good friend, newly married Derek, Mr. Karen 21. He is behind him by just 2/10, 662.8. He is right behind Cody. He just needs to barely improve to get there, but we've still got, 8 weeks left of this competition, so a lot of scores yet to be tallied. And then with his third place performance, Mr. Garbanzo Best Bean, he sneaks himself into third. He's at 642.9. I do believe, Josh, you and I are right behind him in fourth or fifth, but we don't make the top three, and we're not in the money. But Derek is the only one to survive the top three from last week, both Cody and Glenn are new this week, so Derek, way to hold on, and you're right there, you're just behind first, but shout out to Cody and Glenn for thrusting themselves into the top three. 8 weeks to go, anything could still happen. Josh, you think you're going to sneak back in that top three, the FanDuel? You did pretty good this week, you're second place.
Well, yeah, I've been pretty consistent between that 110 and 140 range, or 130 range, and so if I can get another big week in there, I'm a little upset I didn't put Dak in. I think I put CJ Stroud in, and I toyed with going with Dak, but then the way that the dollars shook out, couldn't make it work. But 639, I'm only 3 points behind. You're only 1 point behind, Glenn. So yeah, it's a tight race. And then Levi Kermel's only 5 points behind us.
All right. Well, we'll see. Certainly, if someone could put up a 150, I think 160 is the highest anyone has scored on the season, I believe. Don't quote me on that. But we've definitely seen in the past couple years, we've seen some 160s, some 180s. I believe someone broke 200 once. So, I mean, there's still plenty of room for someone to blow this thing wide open. I'm interested to see what happens. I think most of the top three this year, I think both Cody and Derek have a 150 under the belt, but otherwise they're just that consistent, 130s. They have a high floor. But they could certainly improve their ceiling game. So we'll see what happens.
Cody, it looks like Cody's best game is 158. And then he's got two 139s.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, we will go ahead and move on to my favorite segment on the year. We're taking some little piggies to the market, and we're going to buy and sell some hogs. But before that, we got to intro the bit.
Bacon? You don't put bacon in your body.
Why not?
The worst thing you could put in your body.
I love hog.
It's fried fat.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal. Oink.
That was the market's opening bell, Josh, and the hog market is open. We will start trading immediately. I will just say before that, I know sometimes you get hung up on the actual buy-sell. Sometimes they're fringe players. You're like, would I actually buy or sell this person? It's just someone you want on your team or someone you don't. We're just kind of making you choose versus the hold, or yeah, I'd spend one waiver dollar on them. We're trying to have you give a little conviction here, Josh. So, don't necessarily get hung up on the buying, selling, just would you want this guy on your team or not. With that, Josh, you had just talked about this person in the last segment. Our first hog up for auction or up for sale is Dak Prescott. Certainly started the season not super hot. He had his best performance against the Chargers pre-buy. Before that, he hadn't even broken 20 points in normal scoring. But after the buy, Mr. Dakota is his middle name, Rain. I don't know. Dakota Prescott has been slanging that thing. Against the Rams, he put up 28. Against the Philadelphia Eagles, he put up 28. And then he absolutely just wrecked the Giants. Two days ago on Sunday. Put up almost 38 fantasy points. Dak can be hit or miss, but as of right now, he's sitting at QB number 6. Josh, do you think this is for real, or do you think this would be the peak sell Dak high moment? Because I know you're a bit of a somewhat of a Cowboy hater over the years.
Yeah, I have been, and I think I probably still would be, but he is a buy at this point, so if you have the opportunity to get him, I would say get him. That offense is rolling. CeeDee Lamb is the best wide receiver in football right now, fantasy wise, for the last 3-4 weeks or so. Dak Prescott is a buy.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Josh,
and I did buy him.
Josh, we will move on to a teammate of I would assume at this point a former fantasy favorite of yours. This is running back for the Houston Texans, Mr. Devin Singletary. He did nothing for most of the year, and then just recently he has popped off. Damian Pierce has been hurt. He's missed a couple games, and Singletary walked right in there. 2 weeks ago, he didn't have that good of a fantasy performance, but he had 75% snap share. Super, and he finished with his carries, just 2 yards per carry. But then this last week at Cincinnati, of all places, he put up 22.6 fantasy points and half-point PPR. He had 150 rushing yards, averaging 5 yards per carry. Got in the end zone. He also had a target for 11 yards receiving, so almost all his production was on the ground. Damian Pierce has not been put on the IR last I can remember, so who knows what happens if he comes back in a game or two. But do you think Devin Singletary is reliable for fantasy reasons, or is this someone you would avoid on your team? You don't trust it.
So with the injury to Pierce and the usage of the run game and how that offense has been, and just with running backs in general, I would say Devin Singletary is a buy.
Okay.
I eat everything on the pig except the squeal.
Moving on, Josh, to another running back that has a somewhat similar name. It starts with a D, ends in an Airy. We're moving to David Montgomery, running back for the Detroit Lions. He, of course, started the season killing it. He put up 30 points against Green Bay in week 4. He missed a couple games with an injury. There was a bye week. Jahmyr Gibbs broke out in that time. But then, in his first week back after their bye against the Chargers, with only a 38% snap share and 12 carries, he was able to put up 116 yards and a TD. That's super efficient touches. That's almost a 10 yards per carry average. I mean, 9.67, that's really good. Of course, Jahmyr Gibbs has broken out by now, but David Montgomery's on, I think, a 2 or 3 year deal. I'm not sure how much of that guaranteed. I know the contracts get really funky these days, but anyways, Josh, David Montgomery, do you think there's still gas left in that tank? Would you feel comfortable starting as the playoffs loom? Or do you think it's Jahmyr Gibbs' team and it's time to get rid of that Mr. Montgomery?
I'd be very hesitant on buying him. David Montgomery, for me, is a sell. Just because Jahmyr Gibbs' breakout. Now, if David Montgomery hadn't been hurt, I would say he's a buy, because I think that they'd be more of a 50-50 split. But how do you not give Jahmyr Gibbs the ball with how he's been playing the last few games? So his snap share was down. Yeah, they probably were trying to ease him back in, and he did have that one big run. But are you gonna rely on that one big run and a touchdown each week? I wouldn't. So I would say he is a sell.
All right, David Montgomery.
It's fried fat.
We'll move on, Josh, back to Dallas, actually. We're going to look at their wide receiver number 2 in the lineup, I believe, at this point. I would assume he's gone past Michael Gallup. Maybe not. Who cares? But anyways, well, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, Mr. Brandon Cooks. He was a big, I don't remember if it was a trade or if it was a free agent signing. Doesn't really matter. He's now a Cowboy of way of the Texans. He has been pretty quiet this fantasy season. He's hit double digits just twice earlier in the season. But just this last week, he put up 9 receptions on 10 targets, if I can spit out my words, 173 yards. That's 17.3 yards per target, 19.22 yards per catch, 1 touchdown. He certainly had, if there was to be a breakout game, this would be it. Maybe he falls back to obscurity after this game, but certainly Brandon Cooks popped off. Is this a man you would trust in your starting lineup, or do you think Brandon Cooks is just a little bit of fool's gold at the moment?
I think in that offense, he is the third or fourth option. I think that last week it was more of a, we're up by so much, let's just have a little bit more fun. But you know, if you're desperate for wide receivers, I'd give him a shot. But I do think that he is that third or fourth option in that offense behind CD and then Ferguson.
Okay. So maybe I'll ask the question like this. So like, it's, let's say let's say you're in your position where you are in a lot of leagues, where you're top of the league, you're 8-1, or you'd be 9-1 or 8-2. You're pretty safely in the playoffs at this point, as long as you don't royally fuck it up. You're saying maybe not so much Brandon Cooks, but maybe if you want to try something new, if you're on the bubble, a little spice of life, and be a 5-5 team, you may maybe more heavily consider Brandon Cooks just to see what happens. Or am I interpreting that wrong?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, if you're just kind of looking for that spark and you need it, you just got to get over a little hump and you don't like the pieces you have, he might be worth an ad if you think that offense is going to keep rolling.
All right. Overall, it sounds like Josh is in and out, but there's different perspectives to consider. So we'll say Brandon Cooks is...
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, to another wide receiver. This one, the way of Las Vegas. We're talking about Mr. Jacoby Myers. He is wide receiver number 17 on the year right now. His best game was actually in week one, where he had 9 receptions and 2 touchdowns. He's since put up 3 more touchdowns on the season. He's definitely their number 2 receiver behind Mr. Tay. He's never had less than 80% snap share, never less than 86%. Since week 3, he's only missed 1 game, and I think it was a concussion, so not like a tissue thing or anything. But since Aiden O'Connell has taken the reins of the team from Jimmy G, he has not got in the end zone, and so he's only put up 1 double-digit performance in the last 3 weeks. His target share is severely down as well with Aiden O'Connell at the helm. Do you think there still might be anything left to redeem Jacoby Myers, who, again, he's a wide receiver 2 right now, and a mid-wide receiver 2, not even low wide receiver 2, or do you think that goose is cooked for Mr. Jacoby Myers?
I think the goose is cooked. I think he's a sell. Head coach came out and said they're going to try and scheme up Davante Adams more. They gave him targets last week. Aiden O'Connell's not good. So I think just kind of sell that piece.
All right, Mr. Jacoby Myers.
It's fried fat.
Moving on, Josh, we will next talk about... Shoot. We love that segment so much, but the market can't stay open forever. That was the closing bell, Josh, and that is all the time we have this week. Before we go, I purposely didn't address this in the chat this week because I think Walters put it in the chat just yesterday, and so I figure we'll just address it in the pod. So I'm curious about your thoughts, then we'll get out of here. But what do you think about Walters' ass? I'll read it to you. He said, "Pardon my take, says the Vikings are a good football team, and Josh Dobbs is enough to remain as a starting NFL quarterback." What are your thoughts on this, Josh? I know it's only 2 games. It's a low sample size. Josh Dobbs, this is his, what, 6th season in the NFL? 7th season? It's not like, you know, it's not like he's some, you know, rookie contract guy. This is his 7th season. He has 6 years of experience in the NFL. He's been a career backup up to this point. He's tried to be a starter a couple times around the league. It hasn't worked out. What do you think? Do you think Josh Dobbs is a fluke right now, or do you think Josh Dobbs has been a diamond in the rough and he's finally been discovered?
I would think that... I mean, I think he's a serviceable starting quarterback. I don't think that he's going to get, you know, to the championship game, the conference game, for the Vikings or any team that he's on, but I do think that he's a serviceable quarterback. It's just, yeah, he's just that middle tier quarterback, and it just depends on how the defense goes for the Vikings.
Right.
I'm enjoying the memes that are coming out from Vikings fans saying that they're coming for the Lions, and that you know, the inevitable downfall of the Lions leads to the Vikings postseason success. And I was like, well, who has more postseason heartbreak, I guess?
Sure. You do have to make the postseason to have postseason heartbreak. But yeah, I mean, just as the resident Vikings fan of the pod, I don't know. I mean, I was even trying to, you know, I definitely was giving him a pass on the first game. The guy was on the team for 5 days. He didn't plan to start. He was thrust in there, and he performed very well against Atlanta in Atlanta. Shout out to him. The first home game in New Orleans for Dobbs, he's looked good most of the time. He had a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. I also know I called it out in the chat. He had multiple throws that were like, "Whoa, buddy, what are you doing?" Almost gave me a little bit of a flashback of like a Case Keenum. Case Keenum sometimes would make some questionable calls, but they always bounced his way. And so that was kind of what the entire 2017 season was. That's why Case Keenum did not go on to be a successful starter anywhere else. He just had a really good season, lightning in a bottle type thing. And it's too early to say for Dobbs for me, but, you know, at this point, could I see Dobbs getting us the wild card? Yes. Do I think the Lions will still win the division? Yes. Do I think Josh Dobbs... I'd say the ceiling for Dobbs and the Vikings this year would be we win our first wild card game, maybe in a fluky mash and maybe not, but then we definitely would lose in the divisional round. Like, I think that's our absolute ceiling, and I think we'd be very lucky to make the playoffs. As far as Josh Dobbs starting after this year, he could be a starter after this year. I think most Vikings fans are getting intoxicated by his rushing ability. Everyone is, the grass is always greener for football fans, right? Kirk Cousins is the statuest of statue quarterbacks, right? Even maybe more so than Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was pretty elusive within that pocket. And now they see Josh Dobbs running around. He's made a lot of plays with his feet so far. I think sometimes he's taken off running well before he needs to, but he's also been successful, so who am I to judge? But the grass isn't always greener. He also has plenty of fumbles already. He had with Arizona, and he's already had two with us. So... I don't know. I'm not fully sold yet. Obviously, I want the Vikings to keep getting wins. I love watching my favorite team win games, but... to say Josh Dobbs is some messiah, I think, would be a fool's take at this point, but that's me. Anywho, Josh, anything else you want to say to the folks before we get the hell out of here, or is it just time to go?
Time to go.
All right. We thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We greatly appreciate it. We will continue to podcast and try to entertain you the best we can. But until next time, on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., we will say I love you, and we will say... goodbye.
Go Packers.
Just a little something to gauge your levels.
Yeah, I can't wait to do my bit. It's not the rhyming wrap up, but it's gonna be a good one.
Oh, he feels good about it. Okay,
it's tuned. Definitely a one offer. Not gonna be able to do it more than once.
Okay, but you've captured lightning in a bottle, you think?
I think that this is kind of how we should go about gauging success of individuals as well as professional sports teams.
All right. Well.